You're listening to Own Your Creativity with Story Coach Elizabeth Johnston. Welcome to today's weekly training with me, your story and creativity coach. So the flow state, what it is, why you need it, and how to get it. So welcome to today's live. It's my weekly training where I talk about different topics that are of interest and relevant to the entrepreneur who wants to use story in their business. And a little bit about me, as I say, I'm a story and creativity coach, I'm an author, and I'm also a best-selling co-author in three compilation books, and which went to bestseller status. I created a video poem, so I wrote a poem, then I made a video of it and put it into a film festival competition and was shortlisted for the competition in two different festivals. I've written for many, many magazines and newspapers. I'm a certified guided autobiography facilitator, which is a mouthful to say that I help people write about their life and unearth their personal stories. And some people will use those stories to leave a legacy, to write a memoir, others to create stories to use in their business. And underneath it all, though, it's really about getting clear on who you are and seeing how far you've come. And that allows you to get clarity on your vision and where you are now, and then a clear path to, okay, this is where I was, this is where I am now, and I overcame all of these obstacles in a successful way to get to where I am now. What's my next steps? What are my next goals? What's my vision for what I want to accomplish? And stories can help you do all of that. Stories are amazing for that function. And I've worked with a lot of people, whether it's creative projects for their personal life or their personal life. Many entrepreneurs that I've worked with have unearthed their personal stories to get clarity on their business and their vision and attract right fit clients. Because a lot of times people will think, oh, you know, my business isn't doing what I want, but all I need is more clients and everything will be solved. But if you are not clear on your business vision, you're probably attracting all the wrong people. And that disrupts the flow of your passion for what it is that you started your business for in the first place. So that's why today's topic is flow. And specifically, it's flow as defined by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And so Mihaly's last name looks quite difficult to pronounce, but in an audio I listened, Mihaly actually pronounced how to say his name, and it's Csikszentmihalyi. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And so he's written many books, including Flow and Creativity. And so those two are obviously intimately linked, but each are treated separately in these amazing books that I highly recommend. Now, one of the things that Csikszentmihalyi shares and can be condensed down is that getting into flow is about achieving that state where time has gone. It's, you know, time is distorted. You've lost yourself in the activity. Nothing else matters when you're doing that. And it involves intense concentration, no attention for problems or anything else, meaning you are not thinking about the laundry list of to-dos that you have to do. You are not thinking about that uncomfortable conversation that you had maybe with a colleague or with your child, you know, you are really focused in the moment. And we often achieve our, you know, best productivity when we're in there. But what's even more important is that this is our happy place. This is an intensely happy place to occupy. And, you know, you really do want to figure out how to be in flow and happy as much as possible. Now, a lot of people think that they're going to achieve that state of happiness and that state of flow when they've got a lot of money. And just this morning, I was listening to a meditation that I've listened to many, 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 many times before. And incidentally, that's one of the ways to get into flow is meditation. So I was listening to this meditation, a guided meditation, and the person was guiding us to think about, you know, what are our goals? What do we want to achieve in the future? And, you know, maybe it's a monetary goal. Maybe it's making $20,000 a month or $50,000 a month. And if we say, oh, when I make $20,000 a month, when I make $50,000 a month, when I make $100,000 a month, then I will be happy. And this meditator said, okay, so what does that feel like for you? You've got your 20, 50, 100K a month. You're feeling happy. What does that feel like for you in your body? And like I said, I've listened to this a zillion times. And I realized that the feeling that I'm going to have when I make that monetary goal, I can feel that way right now without having that outcome just yet. And for the first time, it triggered in my mind. It's like, oh yeah, that's what they mean by imagining that you already have it. Now feel like you already have it. Act like you have it. Emit the energy. And that's what I twigged on. It's like, when I reach that monetary goal, I am going to exhibit a certain energy and I'll have a certain feeling in my body, a certain vibration in my body that I recognize as being the flow state because I've been in the flow state before. And I thought, oh my goodness, that just came together for me in a really, really powerful way. And sometimes it's hard to do that mental gymnastics. You know, imagine you're feeling like you already are not feeling. But it really made me realize that being in that state of being, in that state of flow, means that even when I haven't achieved my goal yet, because I will, and you will too, that I can still feel like I am in flow of getting that. Because you see, that's the other realization that I had this morning, was that when I'm worried about, oh, I haven't got to that monetary goal yet, I haven't got to, you know, finish the materials for my summit, or, you know, any kinds of things that I really am excited about and I want to achieve, that when I'm worried that I haven't got it, I've broken the flow. And so we can be in flow even if we don't have the finished product yet. And in fact, that's the best place to be, that unfolding place, that flowing place. And that is what, you know, musicians and dancers, athletes, they experience that sense of flow. But entrepreneurs do, you know, leaders do. When you are creating something, and creating is a key word here, remember, flow and creativity are connected. When you are creating something and you're excited about the unfolding creation, that's when you're in flow. And the idea is to, as much as possible, be in that flow state in all of your life. And one of the things that's so interesting about the work that Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi has done is that he started off wondering, you know, what makes people happy? Because it was the end of the Second World War, just after that. And he, you know, was a lot of the horrors of what had happened during the Second World War were coming to light. And it was pretty hard for people to figure out, how am I going to be happy in this kind of a world that where this sort of thing can happen? And so that led Csikszentmihalyi on his journey to find out, first of all, you know, what makes people happy, which led to his concept of flow and then creativity and flow. And in his book, Flow, and actually you can look at his YouTube video, he did a TED Talk, which is very interesting, lots of good insights in there. But one of the things that he shares is this study that was done over 50 years. And they interviewed people over this range to see about their happiness. And, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, getting that monetary goal is what's going to be making me happy, right? And so what they found was that over this 50-year period, that the people who were the happiest are the people who were, you know, making enough money plus a little bit extra. And that the more that people made in terms of money, the less happy that they were. And now this doesn't mean that, you know, if you make your 100K a month goal that you're going to be miserable, although you might, if you are not doing the inner work. You know, I came across this amazing quote from Sadhguru, who is a wise man. And he said that if you are just putting all your energy into the outcome without doing the inner work, that you actually are going to die of stress. And what that means is we do need to constantly look inward and make sure that what's in there, what's our purpose, that we're giving it room to get into that flow state. If we are constricted in our minds by, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay the rent? And how am I going to pay the mortgage? And how am I going to get braces for the kids? And, you know, if we are in angst about that, that is going to interrupt the flow state, which is where solutions and creativity exist. That's this like quantum field of possibilities, this flow state. And it helps us live our purpose, express our creativity, and find solutions to the challenges that we are privileged to have come in our way, because they help us grow and they help us express ourselves to the fullest extent. And so, yes, you know, having more money could make life easier, but it could also, as this graph shows, make it a lot less happy. And so this started off, you know, the inquiry as well into, okay, so how can we be happy no matter what amount of money we are taking home? You know, what's the secret of these people that even some people who were below the poverty level were happy? And so what's the difference? You know, some people are right on the line, some people are a little over, this one's a smidgen over there, but so many people were happy, and there's no like happy here on the rising average income. There are no happy boxes there when it really gets up there. So this again led Csikszentmihalyi to figure out like, hey, so, you know, what are the people that have flow and that are happy, what are they doing that we're not doing? So this led to the creation of this figure. And on the left-hand side, you see challenges from low to high. And on the bottom, you see skills low to high. And so there's a spectrum here that if you have really low skills and there's low challenge, that you are in apathy. Where we want to be is high challenge and high skills. And then we are in flow. So if we, let's say, want to be a concert pianist and we haven't even started learning how to play the piano, right? It's going to be really frustrating for us to, you know, go on stage and say, I'm a concert pianist. I don't know the first thing about playing piano, but somehow, right? So you have like a really high challenge, but you have no skills. So you're in apathy. And as we go along, let's say our skills have improved, but the challenge is really low. And then we end up in boredom. So this means that, for instance, if you are setting some weight loss goals, or you're setting goals to, let's say, achieve a certain level in a game, let's say, and you don't go beyond a certain challenge, you just stay in that same challenge level, then you're going to be bored, right? Because you've got better skills, but you're not giving them an environment where they can flourish. And so there are different other areas here. There's eight different areas based on your skill level and your challenge level. And sometimes people think like, well, you know, how is this going to help me in the everyday, right? How is this going to help me with my business? And this is something, because I'm all about doing, I go down rabbit holes with the theory and reading books and just, wow, this is so interesting. And then I look, you know, in the references and the citations, and I follow up on that. And so, you know, before you know it, like, I've got tons of information, but no implementation. And so one of the things in terms of my coaching that I feel is so important is that we learn something and then we do an activity around it so that we can learn, you know, put in what we learned into action. And so how to get into flow. This is what I recommend. Now, you can have other approaches, but this is what I've seen that works best. So you can track what you're doing in a day. And I actually recommend this for a number of reasons, including time management, which will be the subject of another live that I'll do for you. But, you know, track what you're doing in a day. Every single thing that you do during the day, track it. And then give it a number from 1 to 10. For, you know, 10 is like, wow, I so enjoyed this. I was so happy doing this. To 1, it's like, oh my goodness, like, just put me out of my misery. I couldn't stand doing this, but I have to do it. So, you know, track what you're doing in a day. Or if you want, you could just make a list of everything you like to do and everything you don't like to do. And it could be in your business. It could be, you know, at work. It, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an employee, just whatever, you know, think about the things that you do every day and the things that you like to do and the things that you don't like to do. Because the ultimate goal here is to do more of what you do like to do. And then assess, like, which ones can you stop doing? A lot of times we are doing a lot of things that we don't like to do that actually is interfering with our ability to get into flow and be happy, okay, that we don't really need to do. And we could, you know, if we have a family, we could delegate some of those things. We could redistribute the load. You know, there are studies that show that even though there are many two income households in families, that women still bear the brunt of, you know, childcare, house cleaning, all of that kind of stuff, right? The division of labor isn't there yet. And mainly it's because there hasn't been that conversation about, okay, we have to redistribute this. And sometimes, you know, ideas about what it means to be a good parent gets in the way, helping their kids to see that they're part of a family and that they have, you know, responsibilities as well. So, and, you know, this just makes me think of Gabor Mate, and that's going to be a subject of another live, but he talks about, he's a trauma expert, a doctor, and he's a trauma expert and speaker, but he talks about how people actually get sick by doing things that they don't want to do, but think that they have to do because either they won't get done or people won't respect them or love them. And so when you're making this list of things that you're doing that you don't like to do, are any of them things that you're doing because you think you won't be loved or respected or cared for if you don't do them, right? Or there'll be a big, you know, conflict. And if that's the case, well, that needs to be looked at, okay? But that's another topic. But, you know, you can see how so many of these things are interconnected. And so out of the things that you think that you can redistribute or delegate or just even drop, maybe they're actually not that necessary, then pick three to five things that you don't like doing, but you feel that you have to do. Okay, so narrow that down on your list. And then, And then you can put them on the flowchart. So analyze what you have to do to bring that activity into flow. So here we go back to the chart. And let's say, you know, there is something that you've determined that you have pretty good skills for it, but you're finding it really boring. And, you know, so you're probably maybe in apathy or in boredom somewhere around that area. And then, you know, maybe it's making memes for your business, you know, like you're pretty competent using Canva, but as you're doing it, all you can think of is all the other more interesting things that you could be doing, like coaching clients or, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel happy and puts you into flow. So either you try to figure out, okay, how can I make it so that I feel like I'm more in flow when I'm doing these Canva memes? If there is no other way for you to do that, let's say you're even here in high, you've got high skills, you're a super expert in doing Canva memes, but you're bored or you're apathetic, right? Because the challenge isn't there for you, right? Maybe if you were a coach and thinking about how you could create a training that will increase the results that you give or that you get for your clients, if somehow that could be tied to what you're doing with Canva memes, right? All of a sudden it's like, ooh, what are the possibilities there, right? So try to think for yourself, what is it that I can do to bring myself more into flow? And go through all, you know, I said 3 to 5, but ideally, like all those things that you don't like to do, you know, get rid of the majority of them and the other things that are necessary for your business, but that don't really light you up in the morning. They don't make you jump out of the bed in the morning thinking like, yes, gotta do memes. But so, you know, try to figure out a way that it can be connected to what really brings you that sense of flow. And if there is nothing, and you think this is just like all a waste of time, well, then that's your opportunity to find a way to outsource it. And now you might say, yeah, but I'm not making the money. So how can I outsource things? I have to do everything myself, right? Again, it's an opportunity for you to figure out how can you leverage your connections? Maybe there's somebody in your coaching program or one of your clients that would love to learn more about what you do, and they're willing to exchange some of their time to help you with the memes because that's what lights them up. And you, in exchange, will give them behind the scenes or give them an extra coaching session. So, you know, be proactive about what you can do and what you can change in your life. Because ultimately, we want to have more boxes here in flow about all the things that we love to do than outside here. You know, being in arousal and control, that's okay. But we don't want to be in boredom, apathy, worry, or anxiety. Definitely, you know, if you have activities that fall into any of these four categories, then you have to think, okay, how can I get from anxiety into arousal with that? And if I finally get to arousal, how can I move from arousal into flow? Same thing here. You know, I'm in boredom right now. How can I get into a sense of relaxation or maybe even control, and then from control into flow? And it's about consciously organizing your life around the things that bring you happiness and allow you get into flow. So this is another way of looking at that graph, you know. So the same thing on the bottom here, we have low to high for our skill, and on the left axis, low to high degree of challenge. And so generally speaking, above this here, if we're really low skills and it's high challenge, we're in an anxiety quadrant. And if we have, you know, really high skills, but no challenge, then we're in the boredom here. And being into flow is figuring out how you can construct the challenges in your life that they are connected to with your skills. You know, when you bring those two things together, then you are on the rise towards flow. And so, you know, how to get into flow is about, it really is all dependent on what makes you happy. Now, some people don't even know what makes them happy. And that is something that also needs to be addressed, okay? Now, the other thing about being happy is that we really do have a choice. Do we want to be happy and in flow, or do we want to be right? You know, I asked you to make that list of, you know, everything you like to do and you don't like to do. And oftentimes we will have a list that's way longer of the things that we don't like to do, but we feel we have to do, that we're forcing ourselves to do, than the things that we do like. And, you know, when we are being conscious about our life, we are moving those little squares from things that we don't like to do column into the things that we do like. We're transforming those things in this process that Csikszentmihalyi's flow chart gives us this, you know, opportunity to move things into flow. And instead of saying like, no, I have to do this, I can't be happy most of the time because I have to do X, Y, and Z. And so you are making a choice to be right instead of be happy. So it's so important to A, know what makes you happy, and then reduce the clutter in your life to such an extent that most of what you're doing is making you happy and is getting you into flow. And one of the best ways that I found to do that is actually in community, and specifically through writing. When you are writing about your life, when you are unearthing your personal stories, this gets you clarity on your mission, your purpose, your vision. And once you're clear about that, the way forward to getting into flow more often is much clearer. And, you know, when we are concentrating on all the things that we don't like to do, all the things that are bringing us down, and saying that in order to be successful, 90% of the time, I have to feel like, ugh, right? If we are looking at this list of stuff that we have to do and most of it brings us down, reduces our vibration, then we are choosing to live in that less than optimal state. And we are justifying it by saying, if I don't do this, I can't pay my mortgage. If I don't do this, I can't, you know, get braces for the kids. So we are consciously choosing to do things that bring us down instead of things that bring us up and bringing us into that flow state where A, we are enjoying ourselves and B, we are seeing the possibilities for how to do things differently and better so that we can live our purpose. And as I say, I'm really passionate about the ability of stories, and unearthing your stories in a guided framework can really help you unearth your story so that you're in more flow. And so I'm inviting you to a free writing workshop, and it's called the Story Circle. And this is where you can kickstart your creativity and get into flow again. It's open to anybody, but specifically for entrepreneurs who want to be more in flow in their life and see more possibilities for story and for transforming their life so that they're in flow more of the time. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you join me in the writing den, this is where we go deeper into this. But this free writing workshop, the Story Circle, will give you a taste of what it's like to be in the writing den with me and to be in an environment with me where you are unearthing your personal stories to get clarity on your business and your vision and your purpose, and get more into the flow state at the same time. And so the Story Circle happens. The next one happens March 21st. It will be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be on Zoom. And the link is bit.ly/OYC Story Circle. I'll put that link below, and you can just, you know, sign up. It's for free. And you can check it out, see what it's like to work with me and to be in community with others with like-minded goals. So I hope today was helpful for you, this discussion about flow and the possibilities for you and the possibilities of the concept of flow for your life. So do leave me a comment below, whether it's on Facebook or on my podcast. I'd love to hear from you about what you think about this concept of flow. And I'd love to see you join us in the Story Circle, the free writing workshop that's coming up on March 21st. So that is it for today. And oh, I just see that Kawina has joined us. Awesome, Kawina. Great to see you. All righty. That's it for today. I'll see you next week with another free training. And until then, take care.